that unpleasant emotion is actually your cue. Like that feeling is your cue that you're thinking something that's not in congruence with who you are. It's not in alignment with what you want.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story, and I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. I hope you had a chance to go back and listen to part one of our conversation with Jessica Heimsoth, where we go through what is ADHD coaching and how do you know if it's right for you. In the second half of our conversation, we are digging in deep to what is keeping us from achieving our goals. What are the faulty thought processes that are running in our brains, keeping us from moving forward? When is it okay to just slow down and stop and not push for growth? Because here's the thing. I want to be here to help you move forward. I want to help you achieve your goals. I want you to take charge of your schedule and have a plan that makes your day amazing. But I want you to do it when you're ready. So if you've been feeling like you're supposed to be moving forward, but you don't know what to do, this conversation is for you. Let's get back into our discussion with Jessica Heimsoth. All right, mamas, we're welcoming Jessica back to the show, and we're talking specifically about our motivations today. So Jessica, can you tell me what are the same obstacles that you see quite frequently from those of us with ADHD that keep us from hitting our goals?
At the most basic level, there's going to be a couple of things. One of them is going to be a lack of understanding. So many of us, before we found out about ADHD, we were like brick wall, could not figure out what to do differently. And a lot of us, when we found out and we had this new understanding, suddenly some more steps became obvious to us. So understanding is one big one. If any of you are new to ADHD and just getting into it, like keep up with the research, keep listening, and use whatever learning modality is the best for you and keep getting it. Because the more you understand both ADHD as a disorder and your brain, like the more you understand yourself, the better that you will be able to do. Kind of lumped in alongside that is this kind of strategies that can help. So like it doesn't occur to some people to do things in 10 to 15 minute chunks, like because no one in their family ever did it, and no one in their business organization does things that way. It doesn't occur to people that you can set your voicemail and email to where you only check them once or twice a day and just let people know, I will be checking this once or twice a day, and then I'll respond then, not immediately. Along with learning about yourself, it's learning about what kinds of strategies are available that you could put into place. And then the last thing, which is the big one that I don't see discussed enough, is that our thoughts are the things that are going to be getting in the way of our goals. And what precise thoughts we're thinking is very individualized, but every action that we take is at its heart driven by what we think. And a lot of our thoughts are not accurate and definitely not chosen with our goals in mind. So starting to look at our goals and choose how we're thinking based on the goals rather than based on just automatic programming from growing up changes how we're able to achieve what we want.
Okay, I might be opening too big of a can of worms here, but are there themes that you see in people's thought patterns that tend to be the big three or the big five? Or is it like across the board, there's 47 different reasons and we can't get through them all?
We definitely can't get through them all, but here some big ones are like one category would be these innocuous thoughts that we have that are in the vein of like, I'll do it later, or I have plenty of time, or just another episode, or just 5 more minutes. they seem so simple and so true. And then if we actually look at them, it's like, no, you will not do it later because you don't want to do it now. So you won't want to do it later. And then we'll have this process. It keeps going.
I'm over here laughing hysterically because I'm getting much better, but like, that's definitely one of mine. And I literally did a podcast episode about it because I'm the queen of like, I'll do that in a second. That is big fat lie, Patricia, quit it.
Yes. And once you start to realize like this thought never, anytime I have it, it's always wrong. And I'm always going to get something that's not what I ultimately want for my life. So you want to start replacing those, which we can get into. But another category is this, like, it's not working. I'm not enough. It's not enough. This is not working. Those kinds of thinking tends to cause us to quit whatever it is that we're pursuing, whether that's a goal or a strategy or working with a coach even. We start to fortune tell about our future. This is not going to work. I'm not going to be able to do it. It's not working. And it comes from a really kind of a biological way of looking at the world to find the problems and to focus on the problems. And achieving your goals requires you to be much more solution focused than problem focused. Well, we weren't raised with that kind of thinking, especially if we have ADHD. We were very problem focused. So getting our brains to where we start to go, what is working and how can that be better? And how do I keep track of that is important.
The reason that originally like prompted me of like, no, I got to talk to her now. I can't wait anymore. Was that you had posted on Instagram, you said schedules create rebellious emotions because we change our own thoughts from I want to do this to I have to do this. And I want to dive into that because obviously I talk a lot about schedules and rhythms and routines and your calendar and all that. And this is one of the things that I see a lot from moms is like, well, I mean, I know I made the calendar and a plan. I don't really like want to do that now. Like it sounded good before, but now I'm just going to turn it over to you because I've got like 43 questions and I'll let you start and then I'll go because I'm so excited.
It's so, 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 so common. Almost all of my clients have some form of rebellion to a schedule that they've made. And some of them have so much so that they won't even want to make a schedule. And there might be multiple things involved, but one of the biggest ones is that in the moment, if you're allowing yourself to make a decision in the moment, you're using a different part of your brain than the one that planned. So you plan using your prefrontal cortex. In the moment, you make decisions with a much more primitive part of your brain that really only cares about you avoiding pain. Like it just wants to do the least painful thing. If you've planned something out on your schedule and then you look at it and you go, oh, it's going to be so boring. And I don't really like you're making a decision with that lower part of your brain. And you're completely pulling yourself away from the idea that you only made that schedule in the first place because what's on it matters to you. You've stopped thinking about that. That post that I wrote said you change from I want to I have to. And that's one of those thoughts that's really an error in our brains. You don't have to do anything, but we start to say that about what we've planned. Like I planned it, so I have to do it. We move from, oh, here's how I fit all of my goals into a week to, oh, somebody's telling me what to do. It's really useful to be able to step back and go, no, I want this because yesterday me and today me are the same. We have the same goals. This is what I want. And the more that you connect to that, that I didn't put anything on my schedule that I don't want to do, which if you did, that's something you want to get some help with, right? But for the most part, like even me writing down, I'm scheduling the dishes or the laundry. I do want to do those things because doing them is how I get my clean kitchen, which I love spending time in. So I want a clean kitchen. I want this. I think I trailed off a little bit on you, but ultimately it's
you're
just
good.
Brain starts to change when we're looking at something that's written down. We pull ourselves away from our goals, really.
So when we're in that moment and we start feeling, oh, I have to do this, how do we modify what we're thinking about it to remind ourselves? Because usually in the moment, we forget that that's where we were going. That's what the goal was. Like all we're focused on is like, I want to do that.
Yes.
Like our like grumpy toddler comes out. How do we flip that? What do we need to do in that moment to get away from grumpy toddler?
Most people will not initially be able to grab their consciousness in that moment. What they'll do is at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night, they'll like, I didn't do anything I wanted to do. And they'll feel really bad about that. That's the moment where you can start to go, okay, what was I thinking throughout my day? When was I thinking about how I had to do this instead of not? Whenever you start to notice, I didn't do something I wanted to do, that's when you want to do some reflecting and check back in. and give yourself the time to mentally put yourself back in the situation and feel what you were feeling and think what you were thinking. This is one of the things that none of us do because we don't think we have enough time to think, but that's where you're going to find your solutions. So whenever you notice, whether it's in the moment or not, you got to slow yourself down and say, okay, what was going on in my head? Is that true? Was I basically splitting myself into two different people instead of being one person going after my goals? Was I splitting my goals into pros and cons and trying to do all the pros and not the cons? Ultimately, it's just whenever you notice, stop and pay attention, like give yourself some time to think about what was in your brain and work yourself back further and further, closer and closer to the moment where you're actually experiencing that emotion. That unpleasant emotion is actually your cue, like that feeling is your cue that you're thinking something that's not in congruence with who you are. It's not in alignment with what you want. When you're thinking the truth, when you're thinking thoughts that are authentic to you, you'll feel at minimum capable of taking that next step. When you start to think things like, I have to, I don't want to, you'll notice that you're feeling unpleasant. And those unpleasant emotions can be super good thing. They cue you into the need to stop and think.
And I think a lot of times when we are in that moment, we don't want to sit there and think about why, because they are uncomfortable emotions. So there's also the part of us that has to be okay with, yes, I have to sit in the yuck for a while to be able to sort through it. Like you can't really sort through your feelings if you're not feeling the feelings. Like, I mean, I wish we could, that'd be pretty awesome. But like to actually like sort through it, you've got to be in it and be like, oh, okay, that's how I was feeling. This is why I was like, but you've got to be in the yuck to sort it out. And it's a whole lot easier to just be like, no thanks, and move along.
It totally is, because it takes much less energy. And it doesn't require us to basically have faith that we can feel an emotion without suffering pain or death. Most of us grow up reacting to emotions as quickly as possible. And that teaches our brain that there's something scary about actually feeling something. So you have to really take a leap of faith that this emotion is safe. It's okay for me to stop and feel this. And anyone who's dabbled in or practices mindfulness, being mindful about what's happening in your body is how you actually feel an emotion. If you've ever thought, well, mindfulness is great, but I don't see how it helps me. This is how it helps. When you get mindful, then you let your feelings be there so you have access to your brain. And that's what will change all of your actions.
Another thing that I loved in your post on that note of like yucky feelings is that you talked about parsing reality. Can you tell me more about how we do this? And it's not good for us, but we do.
Oh yeah. This is a concept that I kind of rediscovered this year. The idea that we will decide that we want something, whether that's an object, a relationship, a career. And then when it comes to doing some of the small steps or the maintenance of that goal, we will tell ourselves we don't want that. And I realized this is ridiculous. You don't get to own a set of dishes that you use in your home without cleaning them or paying to have them cleaned. So when we decide I want dishes, and then we say, but I don't want to wash them. First off, you can say that if you're going to have somebody else wash them. But if you have decided, well, I'm going to wash them and I don't want to, you're parsing reality. You've had a goal, and then you're saying, but I don't want part of it. And that's not how reality works. You decide something that you want, and then you take everything that comes with it. Relationships are like this. We will say, I want this person. We're going to get married. And then when they criticize me for something, like, I don't want that part of them. I'm going to be upset at them for that. I'm going to punish them for that. I'm not going to accept them for everything they are. Jobs are kind of the same, right? I want this career, but I don't want to do this paperwork. And it's fine that the paperwork is not your favorite part. But when you're telling yourself, I don't want to, your brain will take that as a reason to distract you. It will say, oh, you don't want to? No problem. Let me give you something else to do. I'm sure this is really awful. It's probably going to kill you. Like, I will help. So your poor brain is like, I'm here for you, babe. And we'll label that self-sabotage. But really what's happened is you started to think something as ridiculous as I don't want this. When you decided that you did, you're arguing with yourself, you're arguing with reality. And it's a very painful place to be. If you access the original goal, the reason that you have this item or person in your life, and remember that when you're doing the piece of it that you're not in love with, then at minimum, you have purpose. And purposefulness feels way better than dislike, drudgery, you know, monotony, any of those feelings.
Do you wish there was a way to feel confident about your day? To know exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there, and what you need to do today? I know what it's like to buy 15 different planners and not use any of them for more than a week or two. When you're tired of disappointing your family, your boss, and yourself. Imagine with me that tonight, when you look back at your day, you know that you did the things on your to-do list. You showed up well. You feel productive and accomplished. That's why I created Daily Planning for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to keep a calendar and organize your to-do list. When you learn these skills from another ADHD brain in super short videos, they finally make sense. So now you'll be able to keep up with the commitments you've made and feel confident in how you're organizing your day. You'll walk away with an easy to stick to 3-step system to keep up with your calendar and a simple way to sort through the giant to-do list and figure out what actually matters. Plus, we have a weekly accountability group so you can ask questions when you're stuck and jump back on the wagon when you fall off. Because you will fall off. That's just part of ADHD. But now you will know how to prepare for that. So if you're ready to figure out your day in a way that makes sense both for mom life and an ADHD brain, I want to help you make this happen. Join me at bit.ly/ADHD plan. That's bit.ly/ADHD plan. It's all lowercase letters. I cannot wait to see you feel confident and competent in how you run your family life.
I love that we can take that piece that we don't like and then figure out how do we reframe what we're thinking about that portion. Because when we start down that trail of, oh, I don't like that and I don't want it. And yeah, our brain just like jumps on board and is like, you're right. This is awful. Right. Yeah. And then we kind of taint the whole picture, even the good parts, with our stinky thoughts.
Yeah.
But when we instead basically do the opposite of like, okay, if I remind myself why I'm washing dishes is because I want my kitchen to be clean, because when my kitchen is clean, I feel so much more at peace, and that peace and that calm is what I'm going for. So washing the dishes is a means to getting to that peace. Then it's like we did the flip-flop of it and we took the good feelings that come with the big picture and we put it on that little thing instead of like the opposite way. I'm like, man, why are our brains so annoying? Why do they do that? I'm like, ah, because it does take a lot of practice and a lot of awareness to be able to catch yourself in those thoughts and start repatterning the way that you think about it. But at the same time, how amazing is it that we have that power to modify where we are and we're not stuck in that horrible space, which I mean is a far worse thought than not being.
Absolutely. I like how you painted a picture of two possible ways of looking at a situation. And people will talk about positive thinking and it kind of gets a bad reputation. But ultimately, you can decide, wow, it's going to be really hard to become aware and to start to change my thinking in order to change how I feel and act. That's true, maybe, but it's also true, wow, I get to have control over this. I don't have to wait for the world to catch up with what I want, which will probably never happen anyway, right? Because the world, I'm not in charge of it. So I don't have to be just subjected to what's going on around me. I have power. That's also true. So the two, and there's billions more thoughts that are always available to us. So you can decide not to sugarcoat your life, but to focus on the true things that make you feel like you can take the next step. And that's really the key, because if you're looking around trying to figure out what thought to think, your brain will give you a negative one 99% of the time. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to warn you that there's danger. So it's like, okay, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. And what you get to do is say, well, I would like to have a clean home and kids who are emotionally well-adjusted and a side hustle and this or whatever. And I want to eat well. So I'm going to decide which truth to focus on based on that. In this case, the truth that will help you the most is to go, I have power here. I can change this. And I'm going to start today.
I want to be mindful that there is a mom listening who's like, that sounds great. that's so far away from where I am, I'm having trouble even believing what you're saying.
Yeah.
What is step one when you feel so far off from that option of moving forward that there is hope? What's step one that a mama could start like today?
I'm so glad you brought that up because that's true. I get really like caught up in the big story that I forget about being in that place where I, you know, some days I didn't want to get up and felt like I had to. And the very first step you can take is to start to ask, if this were possible, what would I do? If it's possible that I could start to change, if it's possible that I could start to become aware enough of my thinking to start to alter what I'm doing, what would my one next step be? And asking your mind a question like that is a good way to get you to start to see something new in your life. Possibility is one of those most basic steps to change, is to start to go from I can't to maybe I could. I'm really not sure, but I'm willing to risk the potential pain of a disappointment to believe that I might be able to. That's step one.
And that's a big step. When we're risking that disappointment and we look back at our track record of all the disappointments, we feel like we don't have that luxury to dream. Like, do I even want to deal with another disappointment? It feels big and heavy. What is our other choice? To continue to stay where we are and be miserable? Yeah.
You asked that like kind of rhetorically, but there are other choices. I want to encourage women to not feel like they can't accept those other choices. Like, one of them is to numb ourselves, to eat, to drink, to scroll social media, and to do things that get us just to check out. And people feel a lot of shame about doing those things. And I want to offer to you that you don't need to feel that, because that is a protective mechanism that you might need right now. So that's one option, is to numb out. And another option is to stay where you are, which is a predictable amount of pain. Might get slightly worse depending on how you think about your life, but it's at least somewhat safe. That's okay too. When you're ready, the next step is to start to dwell on the possibility. But ultimately, you are 100% worthy as you are. And that's not your potential. That's as you are. If nothing changes, if you numb out for the rest of your life, if you stay where you are and feel kind of roughly disappointed and in pain for the rest of your life, you're good enough like that. Good enough for your kids. You're good enough for yourself. You're good enough for your community. And nobody gets to change that. Anyone who tells you different is lying to you. So even if you're like, I'm not ready to feel the risk possibility, that's okay. Like, what you're doing right now, listening to this podcast, makes me think that maybe you're closer to that than you think, because you're seeking, right? But if you're just not, don't push yourself. Ultimately, trusting yourself will be a huge thing for you as well. Trusting that you know when it's time to move forward.
My heart's so happy, because so much of having ADHD is feeling like you're always supposed to be doing something else. You're always supposed to be getting better and growing, and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And for someone to say, it's okay to be where you are. It's okay to not be ready for the next step. It's okay to feel like I just need some time here. That's okay. You know yourself best, and you know if this is the time to be doing things differently, or if this is the time where you need to protect, and that's okay. I just feel like we don't hear that very often. Like, we just don't hear, like, it's okay to be where you are. You are not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, all the people who are giving you advice probably don't understand where you fully are and where you've come from.
Like, this is such a great podcast now, I think, that you brought all this up and took this turn, because like, it's so easy for people who are in a different place than you to get so excited and make it seem like it's so achievable. And it is. But it's so useful for us to be able to pull ourselves back to, I want to say down, but that's not right. Like, it's not down. It's just,
I feel like inward maybe.
Yeah. I like that much, much better, because it's not like you're not high enough or you're not achieving enough. Again, like, just to remember that growth and achievement, we've made those things moral. We've made them like, you have to be growing. You have to be changing. You have to be doing something else. And I just want to encourage you to think about whoever said those things, if they said them, how did they get to be made king and decide? Who decided that? Maybe they're wrong.
Like, I feel like that's the perfect place to end. I'm like, I don't want to be like, don't do anything with your life. But I also, like, I just want moms to feel like you are who you are. Like, you're in the place that you're in for this season, and it's not forever. And when you're ready for growth, you're ready for growth. And when you need to look inward and just be in that moment where you are, like, that's okay too. And when you're ready, there are people here like you or me, like, that are here to help you and do those things. And if you're not ready, it's also okay.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Oh, I love you.
I feel like we need more people being like, it's okay to be you where you are.
Yeah, spread that message around a little bit more.
Like, I'm like a new teacher. It's fine to be fine. Just stay there. Like, yay, motivation.
But I think that actually is super motivating, because I have to get better in order to be good enough is something that keeps people from getting better often. Mm-hmm. It's like too much pressure. It's too hard. They don't feel good enough, so they feel like crap. So there's one more thing to have to numb out and hide from. You don't grow very well from that place. So feeling like it's rather than something that you're like, oh, maybe I could. That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You will have so much better results. You'll see more success. You'll see all the changes coming together when you're in the place of being ready. Anytime, especially with ADHD, if you're forcing things, it's like way harder than if you had just waited a little while and then tried later. Like when you're trying to like paddle upstream, you're just wasting energy, and you could be putting that energy towards getting ready instead of trying to fix the problem before you're ready.
Yeah, it actually makes me think, like I said, possibility is the first step, but really first step might be just allowing yourself to be where you are and not expecting anything other than you are enough where you are right now. And to sit in that, that's probably really the first step. Me with no and, me with no plus, me with no improving, like an upward trend. It's me right now. And if I never change, that's good enough.
I feel like that right there is a hard pill to swallow for a lot of us, because we've never felt like that ever.
Yeah.
But that's also okay. I'm like, I should have brought tissues over here, and I'm getting all teary. Mm-hmm. I just keep thinking, like, I know there's a mom listening right now who's like, no one has ever told me that it is okay to just be here and that I don't have to shoot for crazy aspirations and do it. Like, it's okay that I'm just me and I'm here.
I really hope that she takes that from this message. It is okay. Because God knows there's plenty of people telling her that that's not true.
Yeah.
That is totally true.
Well, I'm like, this got real serious, and I was about to do some lightning round questions. So need a little like music break or something before we pull it together.
Do you want me to sing something for you?
I need like a musical theater, like somebody like pull the hook, get Patricia off the stage and pull this bat together here.
Blow raspberries.
I was like, all my breakout, my like singing warm-ups, where like making all those weird noises and people look at you like,
do you sing?
Is this a thing? Yeah. I have my whole life. So I would say like, I'm not really singing anywhere right now with the pandemic. I'm just in the car. I mean,
yeah, but the acoustics are amazing.
That's true. And well, I was going to say, and there's no critics except when my kids are in the car. Then they're like, mom, you're
stop it.
Wrong. Like, listen. People used to like my singing. Used to like my singing.
My daughters don't. Well, they do, but my daughter's very picky about when I'm allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Stop singing. But I get to sing. I'm part of this family.
Like, this is not the no singing.
I had a little lamb.
Like, do you know how many rounds of Old MacDonald Had a Farm I have sang for you in your life? And now you're going to tell me I can't sing the song I want to sing? Listen. All right. Let's do our lightning round questions here. So all you have to do is finish the sentence. You don't have to explain or anything. If you want to, you can, but you can literally just fill in the blank. Okay. Number one, the best thing I've read or listened to recently is?
First, like third of a book called We Should All Be Millionaires. And it is basically about money and money beliefs. And it's written by a half white, half black woman who speaks really beautifully about the fact that there is racism in the world, but you do have agency And I loved the interplay that she had. So I didn't finish the book, so I can't vouch for the whole thing. I also don't remember who wrote it, but I thought the beginning third was very good.
I would say I'm going to pause my own lightning round because I love that, because there's so many people who hold shame about not finishing books, and it's okay. Like, you can always go back and finish it later. And also, true, I will put in the show notes the link for the book, so whoever wants to read it can then find out this book that Jessica's talking about. So no worries. Okay, number two, my most boring about me fact is,
I don't go out. I don't eat at restaurants. I don't go to parties. I just stay at home with my kids. That's what I do.
Number three, when I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever is,
my go-to quote is, nothing has gone wrong here. This is not a problem. And my go-to song is probably something by Toby Mac. It's a Christian artist, very upbeat.
He's one of my favorites. Number four, don't tell anyone I
don't bathe as much as the average person.
Again, thank you, because that is something that a lot of ADHDers have shame around. It is okay. Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would?
Oh, I would give myself the ability to understand all languages.
And number six, my best piece of advice for mamas with ADHD is?
You are so much cooler than you think you are. Start asking yourself to find the evidence for that.
Where can our mamas find you, and what are you up to these days?
You can find me on Instagram at Every Thought Captive Coaching. You can also find me on my website, which is a little bit different. It's www.everythoughtcaptivecoach.com. And I'm up to trying to provide some free coaching opportunities for people on my email list. So working towards doing some more live workshops with ability to be coached totally free by me. So that's a fun thing to jump on. Other than that, I have one-on-one coaching availabilities that start in November. That's what I'm up to.
Well, thank you so much. This was an amazing conversation, and I cannot wait to share it. I know that there is someone listening today that needed this message so much, and I hope whoever that is sends us a note and tells us, because when we were talking, it was just like the weight of the words really mattered. So whoever you are, please tell me, because I feel like this was for you. It was here for you, and I want to know. But yeah, thank you so much, Jessica. I really appreciate you being here and also being a total champ with my crazy internet problems this week.
Not a problem.
It was meant to be, and it all came together, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.